Straight from South Africa.
This is the strange and mysterious world with your hosts, Lee Straighten and William Pollinson.
Welcome to Strange and Mysterious World, Season 1, Episode 22. Today we're going to be discussing the Jeremy Corbell's new video on TMZ called UFO Revolution. Yeah,
so it's three-part documentary series.
Yeah. What did you think of it, Paul?
Well, I mean, obviously it's like the same old. Look, for newcomers to the UFO field, I think it's amazing. I mean, it's really good. I mean, for a newcomer, it really touches all the bases, but like it's all, you know, it's like it's very nuts and bolts. I did touch on a little bit at the last episode of other, like, kind of if it's from the future or people from the future or interdimensional, but so very nuts and bolts. But for a newcomer, I mean, it's really amazing. I mean, obviously, it touches on the 2004 on the Nimitz when they saw the Tic Tac going up to the, you know, the article that broke in the New York Times with ATIP. A UFO program that was in the Pentagon, that the secret program, $20 million spent on that. And then it goes into all of, like, the Congress. They had that huge Congress thing last year with David Frazier, Ryan Graves, and David Grush, which was, I mean, it was very exciting for all of us in the field. You know what's also so funny is I'm watching that and I'm thinking, you know, it's so funny, like, we've all been waiting for this for so long. And finally, they get to Congress and, like, you know, Dave Grush is up there saying, you know, whistleblower, he's from the military, from the Pentagon, and he's saying that we've got vehicles and beans. And then the whole UFO world, well, not the whole UFO, but, like, a lot of people go nuts and they're like, oh, a psyop, what is their intentions? Like, this is like, and then they all think it's like there's an alternative agenda to it or whatever. And it's like, but this is like what you've been wanting for fucking since Roswell to happen. Yeah. And now it's happening. And now you just, no one wants to believe it. And they're all just like, no, it's something that they've got another agenda. Or that's why they're releasing it. It's like, you can never be happy. I mean, it's like one of the greatest achievements we've had so far. Mm. And then everyone's just like, no, it's all bullshit. They've got another agenda. They're trying to, like, maybe it's Project Blue Beam or something, which, I mean, I don't know. I mean, look, I'm excited. If Project Bluebeam happens, I think it'll be just as exciting as, like, seeing actually real. I mean, obviously the real thing will be better, but I mean, a startup where they're bringing out fake extraterrestrials and UFOs, making the whole world believe that it's real. I mean, I think that's just as exciting. As, you know, well, obviously the seeing the real thing will be obviously about 100 times better, but that would be pretty intense. I mean, I must say it must be it'll be quite a trip. Right.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, and then, you know, they had all the normal players. I like how they had Gary Nolan on there, and Richard Dolan, which Richard Dolan, of all of the ufologists, I really respect him a lot because he doesn't go too woo, but he's extremely knowledgeable. You know, like, I mean, if they had Stephen Greer on there, even though I like Stephen Greer, but I think he goes a bit over the top and it goes a bit nuts. And then I'm like, kind of like, really, I mean, it wouldn't be as credible to me as if they had Stephen Greer on there as they had Richard Dolan, which, you know, he's also like a UFO historian. I mean, he's great. I like him a lot. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much you like him, but, and also Gary Nolan, which was really good because, I mean, in Pasulka's book, Diana Pasulka's book, American Cosmic, he was one of the key characters. He had a pseudonym then, but he's only recently come out and said, like, he was the key character. I forgot what the key character name was, whatever. But it was him and the NASA guy. Remember, they went to go see that land where the UFOs crashed and they got some material, and then that, you know, goes on. But he came out later saying that, and she came out and said, no, that was Gary Nolan. And Gary Nolan, because he's a respectable, I think he's a scientist in biology or, you know, he's got many patents under his name, and I think he's been nominated for a lot of science awards, and he actually was an experiencer. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah, I do.
So he was an experiencer, and that's why he actually got so into this field, because he wanted to, because his this is just for our audience now, but his experience was so traumatizing because, you know, it's so funny because, like, a lot of people, when they get an alien abduction or whatever, they change them very spiritually, and they think it's like this amazing moment in their life that they've come, but a lot of the time it's traumatizing and it's like demonic. And he had one of the bad ones. Well, I mean, maybe it's all the same, but it's just depends how you interpret it. But so he never wanted this to happen ever again to him, to ever happen to him ever again. So he was trying to find a way to that you can stop it and protect yourself. And that's why he's so invested in it. And which he's, and he's also a very acclaimed, amazing scientist. So that really holds quite, it's quite great that he's on our side. It's funny, they didn't have Lou Elizondo in there. I don't know if he's taking a break or not. And also, Jeremy Corbell, it's funny because he, he swears a lot. I mean, I got nothing about that, but it's like, sometimes I'm just like, why do people take this guy? He's like a loose cannon. And then when they ask him, they said to him, like, because he's talking about how everybody's so not protected, like their lives are threatened. And then they say, well, is your life threatened? And he's like, I'm a journalist. No one can touch me. He's like quite a bit arrogant sometimes. And then they're like, well, you seem quite confident that you are exempt from danger or whatever. And then he starts like discuss. I don't know. I don't know how much to think of that part, but and yeah, and also obviously had George Knapp in there, and what's his name? Ralph Blumhoff, the New York Times journalist, Pulitzer Prize journalist. He was in there, which is amazing. And I mean, his book Believer, the UFO book on what is the guy's name? The psychiatrist from Harvard that did all the abductions, John Mack. So Ralph Blumhoff, they wrote the book Believer. It was like a biography of John Mack.
Yeah.
And he also helped break the New York Times article in 2017 with Leslie Keene. He was on there, which was exciting, you know. So I think for someone that's coming to the UFO fresh, I mean, for us it's boring because it's like it's the same shit over and over again, and we know it all. But for a newcomer, that's amazing. And also, which is also quite exciting, is that like if I want to show somebody a documentary that I want to show them any credibility of UFOs, I would say, yeah, watch this, you know. And maybe that they would get them started or get them interested or like show that some kind of credibility to it. The other thing what I found was funny was that Ryan Graves, when he went to Mexico,
he was doing that whole speech, and then they bloody bring those two stupid bloody cement ET things.
It was Jamie Massad. Yeah. It's funny because I love Jamie Massad's work. Like Jamie Massad. I mean, he's trying to push the agenda so hard that he finds these stupid little fucking little mummy babies, and he doesn't even. He's trying to get them like analyzed. I don't know, but they have the serious thing they got, but they get everybody involved. The Mexican media government.
Yeah.
And the media, and there's important people from the Mexican government there. They got Ryan Graves is invited to Mexico. He's out there. And then he gives his speech about how important it is that we monitor what's in our skies because it's dangerous to the pilots. And then they do the reveal of these stupid mummies. And I mean, I remember when that happened, I was also excited. I was like, oh my gosh, they got the mummies coming out or whatever. And then and then everything, you can see all the femurs don't match and the whatever the bones and it's very just like a sticky tape and bubble gum job.
They wanted to take photos with him as well. And he was like, no, thanks.
Yeah, I'm not taking those photos. No, he's like, no, I don't do the interviews in front of the bodies. I won't do it. You can interview me anywhere. I'm not going to do it in front of the bodies.
Yeah. So, which I think leads credibility to him as well, because it's not like he was just trying to get airtime. You know what I mean? He was there to give a message. We all know those mummies are a lot of bollocks. And he saw that, he was like, the guys are putting such a dampener on something that's so important. And then that these guys put in. And I was like,
imagine how embarrassed he must have been. He's there and then all of that circus goes down. And it's also, it's our fault, like us ufologists. And I mean, Jamie Massad, he's a good ufologist, but he just wants it to be so true. He's just pushing like crap. But so it's like we are our own worst enemies because we take 3 steps forwards and then like 100 steps backwards.
Yeah.
I mean, that was an important event with the whole, the government of Mexico and then they fucking pull those things out.
Yeah, shit.
So what did you think of it?
Much the same as what you thought. So what I would have done if I were him, I would have gone back. So let's do that. Let's go back a little. Let's set the scene properly. Okay, so people can understand. Viewings of strange phenomena that happen in our skies dates back to thousands of years. And let's not get involved in the biblical stuff and the stuff in the Quran and the Bhagavad Gita. Let's not get into that. Let's come forward in time. 1492, Christopher Columbus, when he was sailing to the New World. Do you know that he actually had a UFO encounter?
Yeah.
Yeah, they saw lights. Him and a couple of deckhands, they were on the deck at night and they saw these three lights in the water that were like, he said they were like flickering like candles in the water. They came out of the water, they hovered for a bit and they went up. That's a typical sighting that we have today, especially coming from the water side of things, the USOs, which we seem to be quite prevalent on. Coming close into time, in 1561, there were sightings and multiple people saw this sighting, which was in Nuremberg, where they had all these, they said the sun had turned red and they saw all these spheres in the sky and disks in the sky and cross-shaped things in the sky. Yeah, and they were battling. It was going on for an hour and a half.
Yeah, I remember then that you can even see the newspaper articles from that day with them like fighting and those X's, like you said, in the sky. And
yeah, so and then they had these like weird spear-shaped objects in the skies. Obviously, look, they're trying to equate what they understand technological-wise. They're trying to put into their minds what they can kind of understand.
Yeah, yeah, of course, yeah.
But then so you get these stupid poopholes, they come along and they're like, oh no, that was a sun dog. And this, you know, those phenomena have been seen throughout hundreds of thousands of years. It's not new. The moon dogs and the sun dogs, eclipses, it's not new. That stuff. So when people are seeing something completely out of it, you know, people document. And then we go back into the most recent one, which everything that happened from 1947, which was the Roswell crash, everything that happened from there with the government cover-ups, that is where he actually should have started. He should have started back in 1947 because this is where the whole thing began. Because I don't know if you recall, back in 1947, there was a ranch by the name of Mac Brazel.
Yeah.
He found some debris on the farm that he was working at, and he took it to the sheriff, who in turn called the army in. Okay, now when the army came in, there was a guy by the name of Marcel. I can't remember if he's
Jesse Marcel.
Yeah, I can't remember if he's a captain or not, but he came in and he said, no, they've got some stuff. General Garland as well. They said, no, we found a disc. There's a disc. We've got it. And then there was like a bit of a storm because like, you know, all the people around the world, what the hell's going on there? Then the next day, there's a whole new release. And I don't know, it's not that. It was a weather balloon that had radar equipment on it. Okay, now, first of all, there's a couple of things. The military presence, when that object came down and they found this debris, was massive. They actually swept that area that you wouldn't even find a centimeter worth of object lying around. If this was a plain weather balloon and tinfoil and elastic bands and wood, as I was saying, the only thing they would have taken with it would be the radar equipment, because maybe that had some sort of advanced tech. That's it. They would have left the balloon. They would have left the wood. They would have left all that stuff behind. And even the guy there was a guy I was watching in the documentary, because eventually, I think a little bit later up in the 80s, I think it was 80s or 90s, they said the government admitted that they had lied. And that it actually was a top secret project called Project Mogul, where they had launched these balloons into the air to listen to Russian nuclear blasts going off anywhere. Okay, so they admitted that they lied back then. It was a cover-up. But the guy that was actually in charge of Mogul said, well, they still use weather balloons. It wasn't. They just mounted the stuff onto weather balloons. So it's still a weather balloon.
Yeah,
the
most recent one is that they actually had like they were doing like experiments with dummies, and that's where the bodies were.
Yeah, and that's correct.
Did they say that it was they used
like a crash test? I mean, they were like when they're crashing to see how bodies would react or how they would lie if they crashed into the grounds. And what a load of shit, dude! That's just so cuck. The explanations that came through are so freaking bad. But luckily, we had people, I mean, you had generals and colonels in those days that said, no, man, we definitely have something.
Yeah.
And that all, they kind of forgot about all of that. And then it was, I think, Stanton Friedman he started pushing the agenda again with the whole UFO thing. I know George Knapp got involved with that as well. So there was a whole push, resurgence of the whole UFO Roswell thing. Now, did they launch stuff in the atmosphere to hear Russian stuff, Project Mogul? Sure, of course. But that doesn't mean that is what they found in Roswell. There's so many people that have had, especially like the sons and daughters of people that were there, that actually, that have testified now to say, well, probably in the, about 10, 15 years ago, testified to say, my father said he saw this and was petrified of the things that they saw in Roswell.
Yeah, and Jamie Marcel came out, and he's also, I mean,
he was the son.
And saying like, no, that's, we actually captured like something phenomenal. And it was all just this bullshit thing with
Correct.
And he's the guy in the picture. He's the guy in the picture holding that tinfoil going
this
is a weather balloon.
Yeah, because he was told to say it was just a weather balloon. But he himself, Jesse, had said many years later before he died, they interviewed him and he said that definitely it wasn't that. He was told to say that. The material that they found was completely different. It was so weird, the material. He actually showed people around town. He showed his son. His son, I think, actually developed it because there was some sort of inscriptions, some sort of writing inside the material. Yeah. So some sort of hieroglyph that they couldn't understand. But again, so if we go back to there and you see that the American government were doing their utmost to hide it, then obviously, you know, so now they hit it and they said, no, just air balloon or weather balloon. A year later, Project Sign comes out. Project Sign is the first UFO investigation that the US military are doing. It's also called Project Saucer. That lasted a year, and then it went out to Project Grudge. Project Grudge lasted a few years, and then it became Project Blue Book.
Yeah.
And then I think in 1969, I mean, that up to 1969, they picked up something like 12,600 sightings, dude. And this is not abductions, and this is not landings. This is mostly just sightings. And then they had that Patterson panel that came out with this Condon report, not to be confused with Condo. Although it probably could have been Condon because they were used to cover up.
Yeah, there must have been some
heavy covering up there. But yeah, the then they said,
report.
Yeah, the Condon report. And then they said, no, nothing to see here. Nothing's a threat to the US. Nothing really shows that it's anything ET. And they decide, no, it must be stopped, which they did to stop. But that doesn't mean that the government actually stopped researching it. They just publicly stopped researching. And then we find out back, I think it was in 2017, that the government actually restarted back in 2007, I think it was. They started researching these things again. But that's still a lie because the Nimitz video is 2004. Okay. Nice. So that's 3 years prior to them saying, oh, no, they actually had a UFO research back in 2007 to 2012, and they used $22 million US dollars. No, dude, because the Nimitz is going back, way back. So they're lying. They're lying 100%. So I would have, if I were Jeremy, that's probably where I would have started. I would have started back there just to show the actual, what the government will do and what people will do to try and cover up what's actually going on. But then you must remember, sure, you've got guys like Bob Lazar, who warned us back then that there's these things going on. And if it wasn't for Bob Lazar, Jeremy Corbell would never have actually got involved with the whole UFO thing.
Well, he was very, what I loved actually about the documentary is they're going about his, with Lear, John Lear. Is it John Lear?
I think so.
So, yeah, but that's also what I like about the documentary is they go into the history of Jeremy Corbell, how he started with John Lear. And he got very involved with John Lee. And that's the only way that he actually got to George Knapp was through, because George Knapp was also like interested in John Lee, because he was quite the hot topic at the time, because he was quite a credible guy. And his dad invented the Lear jet. and he was, you know, into military, and so, and he, but he is also saying some extremely strange stories about UFOs and that. And Jeremy went to go actually just film him. He didn't, Jeremy wasn't even a filmmaker then. He just wanted to film him and see, and make like a, his like a first amateur documentary. And then George Lear, I mean, the story is quite incredible. It's actually in one of their podcasts. But he, you know, he would say, like he said, Jeremy Quarles said a lot of that stuff became true, what George Lear said, but he would just go off the rails sometimes and say, like, you know, there's like 1,000 civilizations living in the sun. So it's like, like, what the fuck? So that's, so it started there. Then it went, then he got it with, then that's what launched him into with George Knapp. And I like, that's what, they covered a bit of that in the documentary, which was quite, quite fun as well.
Yeah. But so, like, yeah, we said, no, it's fine. But like we said as well, is if you've been following the whole Nimitz incident, if you've been following the whole Go Fast incident, if you've been following all of those, all of the, that whole movie, that whole documentary is, it's just regurgitating the same stuff. Same as like what Ancient Aliens are currently doing now. I think for the past four seasons, they've been showing the same stuff over and over and over, and eventually it becomes like so monotonous. You're like, ah, you know, I've heard it. There must be something else. Because, I mean, in Germany's one, yes, which is great, especially for people that don't know the stories. It's new to them, and maybe that's the people that he's trying to get to. But, you know, the Nimitz, the Tic Tac video, I'm so sick and tired of hearing about the Tic Tac video, dude. You know, the Go Fast gimbal, I'm so tired of the same things. And then obviously with the whole hearing that they had last year, which was great, you know, when it was first aired, everybody was airing. All the news people the news media were talking about the whole hearing that was going on.
And it's so funny because they always say, like, we can't handle the truth. It'll make the stock market collapse. Everyone will just believe in religion, and there will be panic and mayhem, and there would be everything will just go into chaos and just be the end of the world, basically, because everybody couldn't handle it. But they come out with a sensational, like a story like that of Dave Grush saying, like, look, you know, very credible person. I mean, hey, look, there's aliens and beings.
Yeah.
And then people are like, oh, that's cool for like 30 minutes. And then the whole world fucking forgets about it completely.
Yeah.
They're just like, oh, that's cool. And then, no.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so.
No, it's like a norm now. It's like,
you know, I really admire Jeremy's his drive and his dedication to the whole cause, because, I mean, when I first started getting interested in it, it was so exciting. And like, I don't know if it was the same for you, but like, and I was so obsessed with it, and I was reading everything. But then eventually it just never goes anywhere. So you kind of, you know, it's like it builds up, it's like a big flame in the beginning. I was so excited. I'm reading everything. I'm checking everything out. And eventually it never gets to anything. So eventually it just starts fizzing out. And then I'm just like, kind of like, oh, it never goes anywhere. Yeah. But then there's, you know, then something like Dave Grush happens, or like, the 2017 report by New York Times, and it revs up again, and I get excited, and I'm like, oh my gosh, and then it just, yeah, like it dies down, and yeah, then so as exciting as it is, it also gets so boring, because it's like it never ever is going to be, like, it never seems like it's going to be solved, it never goes anywhere, it's just a never ending
back
thing
and forth. Yeah. It's the same as when I was with MUFON for 8 years, you know, when I was directing the South African chapter. I mean, we were getting two, maybe three sightings a month, which is like bare minimal. But some of the stuff was so stupid, dude. I'm like, why would you even waste your time even putting things on? OneOak actually, because it took about 15, 20 minutes to fill in a document, okay, to send it. Dude. And this one guy was talking about SpongeBob SquarePants in his backyard.
No way.
Yeah, dude. So, why would you be talking shit like that and spending time?
That's the trip that he had.
Yeah. I just don't understand that. And then, look, a lot of it was I saw a light in the sky and it went from east to west, same pace. I'm like, okay, that's like so typical of satellite that you just explained to me there. And then a lot of people, I don't know, they don't understand. Do you know the satellite train? Elon Musk's satellite train?
Yeah, the Starlink.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's like that little band of lights that go through the sky, yeah.
Yeah, so then who doesn't know about it, to be honest? But anyway, so I get this report that comes and says, oh, I saw these like 13 lights all in a row. I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake, man. That's fucking Elon Musk stuff, man. Do you guys not listen to the news?
But it's quite funny because there's two guys that are like friends, who you also know them, that are really interested in UFOs. They seem to be quite knowledgeable about everything. And they both sent me those pictures when it went over. And they're like, oh my God, look what I just saw. I'm like, dude, that's just Starlink.
Shit. But yeah, so and then look, there was a really, really cool one that was sent to me by a lady that had gone to, she was in Israel on holiday and they were at some wedding on a rooftop. And she saw this weird thing in the sky and she filmed it. And she sent me the film. And when I slowed the film down, it actually looked like a cigar-shaped UFO. It had three lights. And it went past, and then within 30 seconds, a military plane went past, was chasing it.
Oh, wow.
So that for me was like, oh man, that's cool. That is really cool. Jeez. That's to see. But when you've got like, and then I send you a picture of this. Hey man, I was taking photos when I was down in Durban and I didn't notice this, but what do you think this is? And it's a fucking bug on his lens.
Oh, fuck's sakes, man. But it's so funny because like I wanted to become a MUFON investigator because I thought it was going to be so exciting, like John Keel kind of like investigation. And then I met you and then you started telling me.
It's freaking the most boring, dude. I took up so much of my time.
Thank God I didn't do that because you have to become a field investigator. You got to read this whole manual, like it's like a whole book and you got to do all these tests. I mean,
you got to pay for it, eh? It's not free. You got to pay for it.
Yeah, so I looked at that and I was like, that's why I never actually joined because it was so overwhelming, all the stuff I had to do. I was like, fucking hell, man. This is like, you know, you're getting a college degree almost.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously that's an exaggeration, but.
If you're in the US, maybe that might be worthwhile, or maybe the UK, because the amount of sightings that those guys have is a lot. I mean, the US, you were receiving 400 to 500 a month sightings.
Jeez, but I mean, that's big. The place is, you know, there's a lot of land, a lot of states, a lot of people, so.
Yeah,
it's not like, because you put it might be just dedicated to one state, then it's like boring because in your state's like just seeing one a day, one a year or whatever. But you know what's also interesting in the documentary series that we're talking about, Jeremy Corbell's one, it's funny, I don't even think it's his documentary. I know it's funny because it says at the end it was produced, one of the producers was Ryan Graves, the pilot.
I think that they all contributed to it, Favreau as well.
Actually, I just saw Ryan Graves. I didn't see the rest of the...
Yeah.
But, sorry, I digressed there. But they were saying, like, how come there's not any good footage? And they like, and also, the you know, the footage they show in that video of UFOs is pretty shit. It's just like this little, looks like little stars or whatever in the sky. But, I mean, have you ever taken a picture of the moon, Lee?
Yeah.
A full moon.
Yeah.
What does it look like?
It's cuck.
It's like the shittest thing you could ever imagine. It's like the moon, the full moon is so massive in the sky and it's so dazzling and like magnificent. And you're like, wow. And you take out your camera, you know, 4K, whatever, 12 megapixel, 32 megapixel now, whatever. And you take a picture of that full moon. Yeah. It is like the shittest thing you can. It's like a little, it looks like a star.
Yeah,
so now, what do you think? If you see something, imagine you've seen like a UFO as big as the full moon. And that's massive. Mm. Imagine you saw a freaking UFO that big. You take out your camera, take a picture. It's going to look like a piece of shit.
Yeah. They think we've advanced so far that, you know, we could take 12K video at night.
Yeah, and zoom in like about a million cameras.
Yeah, it's
and zoom in without it being like shaky like this. Like,
yeah, correct. But also remember one other thing. So what we, you know, we might be able to take some footage of our own UFOs, if you want to call it, like the TR-3B Manta, you know, which is the top secret currently that should be coming out in the next few years. It's the triangular shape one that everybody's been seeing for the past freaking 15 years.
Oh, yeah, but I reckon those are definitely ours, eh?
That's
triangular. Ours. Triangular, the ones like between 48 and like the 90s. Is there any like triangle?
Yeah, there were some chevrons as well. There were some triangles. So there were. But the TR-3B, the Manta, that's coming up. That will be shown pretty soon and everybody will think. Because of the 400 sightings, probably about 200 of them are triangle shaped from the US. So we know that it's our own stuff. But the things that are coming from other dimensions, it's very hard to film them because they distort the energy fields in front of them because they don't use petrol or diesel or flight fuel to fly. they're bending time and space. They're bending the reality that's in front of them. So you'll never take
a
proper picture. Do you understand? You'll never take a proper picture, because when things are shimmering in front of it and it's shimmering itself, it's coming in and out of reality, or what we see from the fourth dimension to the third dimension, and it keeps chopping and changing, or maybe from the eighth dimension down to the third dimension, it's never going to be a proper footage. That's what people have to understand.
Yeah. No, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but,
man.
But yeah, basically, I was disappointed with the documentary because I was expecting so much more. I was expecting, you know, because I'm sure he said in one of the discussions that the whole jellyfish UFO, there was going to be a lot more to it. They were going to show you that, like, when it's going into the water, when it's coming out, you know, there was a whole lot of other stuff. I thought, fuck yeah, cool, man. I can't wait to see that. That for me is
exactly.
going to be cool.
Yeah,
but
I know
it,
something
it wasn't.
New,
it
you know, was, like the new stuff that's coming. Yeah. You would go to that, but it's just kind of recapping it for the noobs.
Yeah. So I was disappointed with it, but saying on the same breath, I will say that I'm happy that it came out, because he's doing a good job. Him and George Knapp are doing a good job of keeping the UFO thing alive. But
yeah, and also,
you know, what's very important? What's very important? He actually doesn't say, and I've stated this quite a few times in our podcast, he doesn't say that it is aliens. He doesn't know. And one of the things that he actually mentions, he says, it may be a race that lives with us that are technologically more advanced, but we just don't know. They actually live, they're in our communities, but they live with us on this world, but they live in such high technology that we actually don't know. And that's why I keep saying this whole breakaway technology thing that we were talking about some time back, I'm still sticking with it. I'm still sticking with the fact that that these guys have developed, maybe going back to the days when Rome or when Greece was still around, and these guys were starting to try to develop things and flying machines and those kind of things in those days. Maybe there was. Maybe there was a root race or a root group that went on their own, had their top scientists, top mathematicians. They were developing stuff, and perhaps that's they did. They moved, and maybe they moved underground or underwater, because we seem to be seeing a ton of UFOs coming from the water.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. For sure, man. That's also, and Diana Pilsilka's one of her books, I can't remember if it was the Cosmic or the new one. What's the new one called?
Encounters.
Encounters.
Yeah.
But she also spoke about her friend that was, her dad was involved, her friend's dad was involved in this secret space program. And like the amount of, I can't remember all the details, but it was alluding to that, it was like he was part of that breakaway civilization or something that, and they were planning something to like, well, not planning, it was like trying to, it was funding like this off-world environment or something that, or that they were going to leave, or there was something going on to that effect. I can't remember the whole details, but it was, so it just made me think of that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, also, you know what was so interesting? I was watching, because Sadhguru, I mean, I really like Sadhguru's stuff, and if people that don't know him, he's like a guru in India. He's probably one of the most popular guru.
Is that the old bully with the white beard, the big white beard?
Yes, and okay, he's got quite a good sense of humor.
I've seen him a couple of times.
He's got charisma, and he's probably got the largest following, and he's you know, he consecrates a lot of places in India, and he's got like huge ashram there, and so I really enjoy listening to what he says. But he says, because he's only coming out like recently with his alien encounter kind of thing, because he doesn't want to say he's also been on Joe Rogan's podcast, and he didn't want to say anything about it because he didn't want to discredit himself, because he says, you know, like but now he's actually not interested in that anymore. He's not interested in being credible or not credible. He just wants to say what he says. But he says that he's, through his whole spiritual evolution, his experience, he's encountered alien beings like quite a few times. They've come up and made themselves present to him. I mean, this is coming from a very spiritual man. So that's why there's like, when I always think there's a kind of spiritual nature to it. I think maybe people also, when they reach to a spiritual level or whatever, they can actually see these things or encounter them or whatever. And like also when people ask him, well, how do you know that it's alien or extraterrestrial? And he says, no, because there's a completely different energy to them. There's a completely, you can tell when something, and I suppose if you are that like intuitive or like that spiritually like adept, then you can know, you can sense like of what is actually from this earth or what's not from this earth or whatever. And then they will, and then he says that they come, they've made themselves present to him, but he doesn't interact with them. He says he does not want to engage with it. He just kind of like, they see him or whatever. And then he just leaves it at that. He doesn't want to engage with them. And they ask him why. And he said, because they're just as confused as we are. Like, or he didn't say it like that, but just following him. And also I was also initiated Shambhavi Mudra Kriya, which is a kind of a like a meditation. It's a Kriya kind of energy. It's like a combination of a lot of like different spiritual techniques into a meditation kind of thing. And I remember in the whole, because you got to do like this whole class before, like a whole week class before you actually get handed these things down. And he was saying that, you know, people come to this ashram or whatever, and they start getting psychic abilities because obviously they're getting spiritually more aware. And he says, as soon as he sees this happening, he pushes it away, even if it's spiritually detrimental to them, because he says it's just a circus. He says that's not the goal. He nibs it in the bud, and he says that these things will happen on your spiritual journey. You will start encountering other beings. You'll start having psychic abilities, seeing the future. You know, having getting certain energy, healing abilities, whatever. But he says that's just a circus. He says don't get involved with it, because it's not the purpose. Or it's not the end goal. It's a distraction. So he says that he sees these beings. And he doesn't engage with them because he says he's trying to reach a heightened spiritual awareness of God and the Creator and all of that. And he says that it's like meeting another, it's like meeting a being that's not enlightened or not on the same path. You know what I mean? That he says they're just as confused and lost as we all are, but they're just from another place or like another, they might be more advanced than us, like in terms of like certain abilities and stuff like that. Mm. But same problems. They're also just as spiritually lost. Yeah. And he's trying to get to the divine or whatever, you know? And so I found that very interesting. I really enjoyed hearing that.
Okay.
Which was pretty cool.
So obviously he's seeing these beings because I know they keep saying about raising vibration and those kind of things, which allows you to see something different to what's here. But that reminds me, going back to, we're going to just revert back to the Nimitz story, the tic-tac thing. Do you know the only reason why they started actually seeing these things on radar was because they had changed the radar systems? Yes, that upgraded them.
Updated it.
Yeah. That day they were testing out the brand new stuff. And this is when they picked up the things. They hadn't picked them up before. They started picking up all these things now. And then the guy who eventually leaked the video, he said that they had seen these things for days. The flights were coming in. There was a USS, what was it? There was another, was it Princeton? There was another USS with them, another ship. There was a few ships.
Yeah.
And they had seen the same things, and they were all documenting it. And one of these, on one of the days, these people boarded the ship. You would say it's like a Men in Black moment. These guys came to the ship and they confiscated. They confiscated everything revolving the video footage. But he had had a copy. He had actually made a copy of the disc.
I did.
Yeah, he had made a copy.
And
he leaked it because they'd said to everybody that's all the footage they had to hand over, everything, and no one was to talk about it. Nothing. None of this happened. Done. So they tried to do a whole cover-up like they have been doing for all these years. Unknown to them, this guy had a copy and he released it. And that's the only reason why they eventually came up and said, okay, yes.
Why doesn't he release all of the, because they were seeing like hundreds of things dropping from 80,000 feet, which is space, 80,000 feet down to the water. Then they were seeing like hundreds of these things and like fleets of them.
So no, I think he only had that tic-tac one. He only had the tic-tac one. But the other ones, the Navy eventually released the Go Fast Gimbal and the FR. The Navy eventually released those ones. But this one from 2004, the Tic Tac, he actually This guy had a copy of it and he released it. And if it wasn't for that release, if he had not made a copy, we would not know anything about that tick-tack thing.
Wow.
Because it was trying, they tried to cover up. They did say, come and say, you guys cannot talk about this. Give us everything you have. Threaten them with their lives. You know, the normal stories.
Yeah, sure. I remember that whole story of the men in black guys coming in a helicopter and on a Nimitz. And,
yeah, so and, you know, grateful that was blown out of the water, which is very cool. Now the guys are eating pie because now they don't know what to do. How do they release it? How do they tell the people? Because they're trying to release it slowly. They changed the name to UAP, no longer UFO. You know what I mean? So now they're trying, they you can see there's an agenda of trying to release the information. You can see it. Because they've released thousands of documents in the vault where you can now go and have a look and see certain sightings that they've had. They're trying. But I think, like you said, what do the government do? Because if they admit to it, if they admit that they've had things since 1947, they've been back engineering or reverse engineering, if you'd rather call it that, these objects and these items that we have now, our own stealth fighters come from there, the TR-3B, which is coming out soon, comes from there. Everything's been reverse engineered. They would be in so much shit, dude, the American government. They would be in so much cock because how many people have died to try and give the information and these people have kept them quiet. Yeah, they've dug themselves.
Well, then they must make an agreement. Say, like, look, if you guys don't touch us, we'll come forward with this thing, but then you got to make us, like, immune or whatever.
Yeah, but like the problem is the people wouldn't even trust the government even more. They don't trust him now. Can you imagine now?
But they've already got that thing. Yeah. They've already got the thing in their constitution, or I don't know, like, that people can come forward and be a whistleblower and they won't get into trouble.
So you can see they are trying to release it. They are making an effort, but yeah, to try and dig yourself out of a hole, I don't know. You probably try to cover that hole up. You've covered that up enough. The problem is there's another hole that's been dug, so now you might as well just get involved in that hole and just say, yeah, okay, cool. Yeah. This is what we have. 2004 Nimitz, Tic Tac, Gimbal, whatever. Yeah, these are the ones that we got. Government's admitting to it. So in 10 years' time, they said, no, but we told you in 2017 that these things were around. Can't say we were covering up. We told you that they were around.
Yeah, but it's quite interesting in that documentary series, and they do. It's quite nice how they do go into the cover up, and they put some good points across there, which is quite cool.
Yeah, and then in 2034, when the Elohim land
From the aliens,
yeah, then the government can say, yeah, no, we did say that they were unidentified. We don't know anything about them. Yeah, so you say, we're going to shift topic a little bit. So your fasting, you finished it now?
Yeah, so I finished it yesterday.
Did you hear the word of God at all?
No, I didn't. It's so disappointing. Every single time I go in, I think I'm going to experience something cool. But I don't know, I'm just joking. I didn't really go into this time to have a hallucination or some mystical experience. But I came out on day five yesterday, so I had 5 days of not eating. So, I mean, I've done on 7 days before, but this one wasn't as intense as the 7 day one. Because I remember the 7 day one, I remember I got to day 4 or 5. And on day 5, I actually had like an emotional breakdown. I went into the woods. Like everything was just too much for me. It was just so overwhelming, everything. And I didn't have the energy to like cope with anything. And I remember I went into the forest and I sat there and I just like, this was like broke into tears. Like, I couldn't handle anything anymore. But this time it was fine. I mean, I did get to a stage where certain things were like a bit irritating that I couldn't handle. But then the energy on the 4th and the 5th day, it was so low that things just didn't bug me anymore. I just didn't have energy for it. Like anything that came at me that I would find annoying or like, because like especially the whole thing I'm going through with my daughter's mother, it just didn't bug me because I just didn't have the energy to actually worry about it. I just was like, oh, whatever. And then even lots of work related stuff that on my phone that I've been putting off forever, I just thought, well, let me just go and do it. And I just went through it and I just tackled everything with no emotional attachment, which is wonderful. I didn't have any energy to put any emotional attachment to it. So like I just went in and I just like resolved everything that I've been putting off forever because like I just have too much emotional anxiety and fear around it. That I not so much that it's like, oh my God. It was just like, I'll just deal with it later. I'll just deal with it later. You know, like I'll just deal with it.
And then
I just faced it, and it was fun. I got through all of this stuff, and I was like, oh, this is amazing. Maybe every single time I should just fast and then just go sort out all my emails and my.
You'll be fasting like every day.
WhatsApp messages. But the thing is, I couldn't sleep. Every night I couldn't sleep. The one night I had 3 hours sleep, but when I woke up in the morning, I was fresh as a daisy. Like I was like, whoop, up. And I wasn't tired at all.
Did you go meditate when you woke up?
No, I was lying in bed because I had to work. I had to go film the next day.
Yeah.
So I was like, went to bed at 10 because we had to get up this mountain at 6 o'clock in the morning to film the sunrise. And like, I thought I better go to bed at 10. And like, I just lay there, and every hour I'm looking at my phone, and it's like 10, it's like 11, it's like 12, it's like 1. At 2 o'clock, I'm like, fuck this. As I got up, and then I meditated for an hour. And then I went back to bed, and I slept like a baby. And then when I woke up, I was like, bing, I was up like immediately. And I didn't feel tired the whole day. Like, well, there's a difference between like, I didn't have any energy. Like I walked up that hill, and I was like, you know, every step I was like, oh my God. And I had all the camera equipment and holding it. Like I didn't have any energy, like physical energy. But the thing is, I was not tired. Like it's not like I wanted to go to sleep.
Yeah,
it's like a different. I can't actually explain it, but like, I was physically like I didn't have any energy, but I was sharp as a nail. And then yesterday when I ate, I broke my fast at 8 o'clock in the morning. I had a fruit salad,
yeah,
right, and I was feeling fine. It was great. Yeah. And like an hour later, I mean, it went through my body like in an hour. I was just like, it just came out. I mean, I hadn't had a shit for 5 days. Now I just ate. I had a shit immediately, but then I went and had an egg. I had an egg mayonnaise sandwich, and I ate the sandwich, right? And I about 10, 15 minutes later, I just hit this like slump, like my emotions. I just hit this depression that I hadn't felt for ages, and like this extreme brain fog just came in. I mean, it was horrible. It's like weird social anxiety came, and I had to go pick up my daughter, and I was like with a mother, and I had like this anxiety, this brain fog. I was feeling like shit, and I didn't know what the fuck was going on in me. I thought, okay, well, my body's not used to food or whatever. Or I thought maybe it's the egg, or maybe it's the bread. I don't know. So then I took my daughter for a picnic, and we had these crackers, cheese, and gherkins, and I'm eating this, and then it all came back, and I was feeling like, oh my gosh, what is going on? There's something in this food, like something's happening with the food. It's making me feel like shit. And then I was so tired. I didn't even have any energy to play with my daughter that like I couldn't, my focus was off. Then I took her for a pizza, and then the same thing happened to me, but it was so intense this time. I actually almost, and my sister was, she lived close to the pizza place. So I thought, I'm just going to take her there and I'm going to sleep. Cause this is, it felt like I had a hangover. It was like the worst thing. I was just like, fuck it. This is like a hangover. I've never felt so down and shit for so long. It was so horrible. Then when I got to my sister's house, I dropped off my daughter. Then I went to go see my sister. And then that evening, so like 5 hours later, we had a chicken because they both banting. So I just had a chicken and salad. And I felt fine after that. I was like, absolutely fine. So I was thinking, maybe it's that bread. Or maybe I got used to the eating. I don't know, but like I'm sure it was that it was carbohydrates or whatever bread. It's like poisonous to me. I think it's fucking me up. I think it's like when I felt how shit it made me feel. I was like, oh my gosh, food's dangerous. It's actually not good for you. It's actually it's terrible. It's like it's horrible. And then also the thing is my eczema on my ears because I got this bad eczema during the fast. It didn't bug me whatsoever. Not a single thing bugged me with the eczema. Last night. It just started flaring up again. And this morning it's like just flared up completely. So in my conclusion.
Okay, hold on. Just before you conclude there. Your first meal was what when you came out from the fast?
Fruit salad.
Okay, and you said you felt a bit weird.
No, I felt fine.
Oh, you were fine. Fine. Okay, then you had fine. An egg mayo.
With bread, yeah, sandwich.
Okay, and then you felt cuck. And then you went and you had pizza.
Yeah, well, I had first crackers with cheese and gherkins. Pickles,
okay.
Crackers. Crackers.
Okay. Then you went and had pizza.
Yeah.
You might be lactose intolerant.
No, but then with the cheese, that I had last night with the chicken. There was a shitload of feta cheese in it.
Feta's not too bad for you though.
Oh, okay.
But so yeah, the egg thing is a problem as well.
Oh no, but then also the cholesterol. You know what I also had? I had an ice cream. Jesus, this is how I break my fast. Because my brother-in-law was fasting with me.
Yeah.
And he heard what I ate that day yesterday. He was like, "Are you fucking insane? Like, you can't just, after a fast, just pack your body with just shit like that. Are you mad? You know how bad that is for you?" He's like, "Fucking, no wonder you feel like shit. That's like, you're a moron." But then, because like, when after the pizza, like, I went and had an ice cream. Yeah. Like, I was feeling like really. Oh, yeah. And then also, I had to run to the bathroom and have a shit as well. So I shat three times yesterday. I haven't had a shit for 5 days. I shat three times yesterday.
Yeah.
And then, so my conclusion to that, I was like, oh my God, food's bad for you. It's like, it's bad. It's like not good for you.
Yeah, well, so maybe the food today, that we're currently having is not so good. Yeah.
So I'm fasting today again.
Yeah.
So I haven't eaten anything today, and I'm going to probably try and fast all of tomorrow because I want to break my fast with something that doesn't have bread in it, and then see what happens then, and see if it's like maybe that's.
Well, try not to have cheese either, or eggs, or milk. Maybe just keep away from that for now.
Yeah.
See what happens. See if you like you said, fruit salad was pretty good, and then I don't know, maybe have like a potato with something salt for the night, something healthy.
Anyway,
cool, man. Right, guys, well, thank you very much for listening once again to us. Hope you enjoyed the episode, and thanks, Will, again. I'm glad to see you're okay after your fast. And then we'll chat to you next week, guys. Cheers, have a good one.
Cheers.